Check, check, check. Mic check. You need another one or you good? Nice. Jeez Louise. Join me in reading these scriptures as we get started, starting with Matthew 9, 27. After Jesus left the girl's home, two blind men followed along behind him, shouting, "Son of David, have mercy on us." They went right into the house where he was staying, and Jesus asked them, "Do you believe I can make you see?" "Yes, Lord," they told him, "we do." Then he touched their eyes and said, "Because of your faith, it will happen." Then their eyes were opened, and they could see. Reading from Mark 1, starting with verse 29. After Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away. So he went to her bedside, took her by the hand, and helped her sit up. Then the fever left her, and she prepared a meal for them. That evening after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. Carrying on with Luke 8, starting in verse 40, on the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for him. Then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come with him. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by crowds. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." When the woman realized that she could no longer stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Our last one comes from John chapter 11, starting with verse 33. And this is a story that most of us are familiar with, but it's picking up towards the end of the story of when Jesus was on the way to Mary and Martha's house at their request because their brother Lazarus was sick, and he had in fact died by the time Jesus got there, starting in verse 33. When Jesus saw the ladies weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. "Where have you put him?" he asked them. They told him, "Lord, come and see." Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, "See how much he loved him." But some said, "This man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. "Roll the stone aside," Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" So they rolled the stone aside, Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. I want to thank you for being with us online at Life Point Church today. As you know, we've decided to follow the recommendation of the health department and the governor of the state of Kentucky to meet online for the next few weeks. And we know that this is inconvenient for some, and it wasn't a decision we took lightly, but the number of COVID cases are rising in our community, and we felt it was the best decision. So we look forward to seeing you here soon in person in a few weeks. We're in the third week today of our series of Jesus Is. In the first week, we saw that Jesus is our Savior. And that's just another word for saver. Jesus came to save us from the sin that we're born into. He came to save us from lives of selfishness and arrogance. And he saved us from lives disconnected from God. In fact, he came to destroy the barrier that existed between us and God. Because of him, because of Jesus, a life connected with God, our Creator, is now possible. In the second week, we saw Jesus as our sanctifier. It's a big word for an even bigger concept, that God, in the form of the Holy Spirit, lives in us, with us, and through us. Jesus being our sanctifier demands that the Christian life doesn't stop at the point of salvation, at the point of accepting Jesus as our Savior. In fact, that's just the beginning. We read in Romans 7 when Paul said, I want to do the right thing, but I don't. I don't want to do wrong things, but I do. Romans 7 was an encouragement that we, as people who have been saved, must now reflect that in our actions, in our attitudes, in our beliefs. It's just the beginning. Salvation is just the beginning. The next step is living a life that is sanctified, a life that is made holy, made more pure, a life that more accurately reflects the life of Jesus. We studied the book of James several months ago as a church, and all that boils down to is it's faith in action. And that's what the book of James is all about. Sanctification is faith in action. The theme for our series so far has been, it's all about Jesus. And that will continue today as we talk about our topic, Jesus, our healer. I want you to pray with me as we get started, please. Lord, I want to pray for what's keeping us separated right now. The COVID crisis has affected so much and so many, and 8 months in, we're still being affected. I can clearly see your work in it. I can see your hand in this. I pray that everybody can, even through the destruction, the devastation, and everything that's going on through it. Lord, I pray that we can see your hand, that we can feel you by our side. I pray that you will take it away from us. Not that we can go back to lives as normal or whatever normal is, but that we can glorify you in the process. I pray that you do that, Lord. I want to lift up the topic that we are speaking of today. It's personal confession. This is so intimidating for a guy like me who still needs healing, will always need healing for as long as I'm alive, to get up here and speak about a topic that's as important as this, that covers as much in the Gospels as it covers. I pray that you will give me wisdom and clarity as I try to communicate what your word says about your healing power. Lord, I love you for that. May your words be my words today. Will you strike anything that's not holy and is not of you? Will you strike it before it even comes out? Lord, may we glorify you in everything we do today. Even as we're separated, We have this wonderful technology that can keep us together. We thank you for that, Lord. We pray that we don't abuse that privilege, but that we stay connected in a world that's encouraging us not to. We love you, Lord. Just be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our sanctifier. Jesus is our healer. We see Jesus as our healer all throughout the four Gospels, the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that's why I started with the story of healing selected from every one of those books. The four Gospels recount Jesus' earthly ministry, all from different and all from unique perspectives. Each has their own purpose, each has their own style, but one theme that we see running throughout all four of the Gospels is the theme of healing. In fact, about 20% of the content of the Gospels focuses on Jesus' healing. 20% of those four books. That's even more than the content of salvation. So much of Jesus' ministry on earth involved healing, and his healing ministry continues today. But do we act like that? Do we carry ourselves as if Jesus still heals? We have been promised the Holy Spirit. The healing power of God that we see in the Gospels lives inside of us. But do we live like that? We can learn so much in the details of Jesus' healing stories. The first thing we can learn is Jesus responds to problems. One of my favorite stories in the entire Bible is the woman at the well that we see in John 4. And I actually use that in my sermon to illustrate Jesus as being our Savior. Jesus confronted her problems so lovingly, but directly and firmly. We see him do the same thing while healing. Jesus sees problems. He's not a detached God who doesn't care about us or doesn't care to know us or our problems. Second thing that we see is Jesus responds to faith. In Matthew 8, we see that Jesus was impressed by the faith of a Roman officer who begged Jesus to heal his servant who was paralyzed with pain. Verse 10 says that Jesus was amazed at his faith, and Jesus said, "I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel." He goes on to heal the servant, telling the officer, "Because you believed, it happened." Mark 2 tells the story of Jesus doing ministry in a house in Capernaum. The house was packed with people, so packed with people that the crowd was overflowing out the door. The people wanted to see Jesus, have contact with him and his healing power. And in Mark 2, a group of men carried their paralyzed friend to the house, climbed up to the roof, cut a hole in the roof, and lowered the man down on ropes to Jesus, just so he could be close enough so Jesus could touch him. First thing is, I want friends like that. I have friends like that. I hope you do too. Verse 5 said that because Jesus saw their faith, the man was healed. It's all about faith. Third thing we see is that Jesus responds with compassion. 28 of the 35 miracles performed by Jesus in the Gospels were either physical or mental healing. 28 out of 35. Keith Bailey, in his book Divine Healing, said that the miracles of Jesus were not promotional items, but were deliberately designed compassionate acts to relieve human suffering. They are an index to the very heart of God. Jesus cared. Jesus was compassionate, and he still is. He still cares for us now. He still cares for you now. Jesus had such compassion on the people around him and such a desire to help them. Jesus still has that desire. He has that desire to help you. Mark 1 says that Jesus was moved with compassion to help a man with leprosy. Matthew 9 and Matthew 14 both say that Jesus had compassion on the crowds that followed him. If you read through these miraculous healings, which I strongly encourage you to do for yourself, you will see that Jesus many times told people after he healed them, keep this to yourself for now. Please keep this to yourself. And especially towards the beginning of his ministry. Now that seems kind of confusing to us because we're told to go and tell. We're not told to keep this between us. But most scholars believe that he did this because he knew the crowds that would gather to see his healings would be overwhelming, especially at the beginning of his ministry. And it would put a huge strain on things to get started, this movement that was just starting. Yet, even as healed people told and shared the news of their healing, they couldn't keep it to themselves. Jesus reacted to the crowds, not with anger, not with frustration, but with compassion. Several times in the gospel, we see Jesus healing crowds of people, entire villages, completely wiping out their sickness, completely wiping out viruses, diseases, spiritual warfare, demonic activities, wiping all of it out with the touch of his hand. The Jesus that we serve was and is still so full of compassion. But what about the brokenness in this world right now that we see? If Jesus is still the ultimate healer, why do we see all this brokenness? Why do we have all the hurting and the pain? Why is the COVID crisis still rampant? Why has malaria and HIV had such a stronghold on the entire continent of Africa? Where is Jesus and his compassion in the midst of our suffering? I'm not going to stand here before you today and tell you that I know the answer to that fully. But I will tell you that without brokenness and without suffering, there would be no need for Jesus, our Savior. Think about that with me. Brokenness is everywhere we look. And brokenness is the direct result of sin. Without brokenness, what will we need saved from? Without evil, there is no good. Without role players, there's no MVP. Think about that. Without students who make C's or D's, there wouldn't be any students who make A's. If everybody was great, there'd be no greatness. If everybody was sick or everybody was healthy, there would be none of the opposite. Greatness would just be average. Healthy would just be average. Brokenness helps fulfill our need for a Savior. It's tough to accept, I know, but brokenness helps fulfill our need for the Savior. Suffering and brokenness can help prompt us into lives of sanctification. As the book of James talks about suffering through trials, and brokenness can lead us into a relationship with God that is more perfect and complete, sanctified, and closer to the holiness of Jesus. There's no biblical evidence that miraculous healing stopped in the New Testament. This is so important, and I'm going to repeat it because I want to make sure you got it. There is no biblical evidence that miracles and miraculous healing stopped in the New Testament. On the contrary, I've seen so many healings take place, and I would like to share a few with you. First of all, our family, our immediate family, deals with a lot of mental health issues. It was brought on by biology, heredity, and a large dose of trauma. We have been directly told, Denise and I have been told, that two of our kids, and I'm not going to say who, just to protect their innocence, if they want to tell you a story, they can, but we have been told that two of our kids have no business and no ability to live in a family, that they need to be institutionalized. But we have seen God's people pray over them, pray with them, encourage them, love them. We have loved them, made them feel safe, and made them know that no matter what they have going on, they always have Jesus. Jesus is on their side. Jesus is with them. And it's been a slow healing process. It's been sometimes daily, sometimes minute by minute. It has not been instant, but they have been healed of some of that. And we have gotten to be a part of that. Something as simple as my foot injury 5 years ago, I dealt with it for years and years. Pain, severe pain every time I took a step. God has healed that. I distinctly remember being frustrated about it one day, driving on my way to physical therapy, and God told me, I'm going to heal this. And I knew in that instant, when the pain didn't stop, that it would be a slow healing, that it wasn't going to be instant, but that the problem would eventually be taken care of. The problem that it helped, that it kept me frustrated, kept me in pain every single day, had the problem that helped me put on pounds that I don't need, which made the foot problem worse. God healed that. It was slow. It took time, but he told me he would heal it, and it's healed. Scriptures give clear instructions what we should do if we need healing. I'm going to read from James, the fifth chapter, starting with verse 13. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Scriptures clearly instruct us to seek out church leaders and have them anoint any healing needs that need to take place. That's right there in James 5. I began seeing this at a really young age. My mom was healed of a severe foot issue. She had what's called plantar warts on the bottom of her feet. And it was when I was about 10 years old. My brother was probably about 12. We were active. We were on the go. And she was completely immobilized because of these warts. She had them removed. They would come right back. She'd have them removed again. They would come right back. That was the only solution that doctors could offer. And every time they came back more painful, and she was immobilized, trying to keep up with two kids who were active and on the go. And then I saw the church that I attended that sent elders to our house, and I distinctly remember the night that they came over and prayed over her and anointed her with oil. Very soon thereafter, her plantar warts were gone. And she went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, I have no medical explanation for why they are gone. Praise God that they are, but I can't tell you why. Our youngest son, Josh, received a leukemia scare a couple years ago. And I'm not a worrier, but let me tell you, that was a worrisome time. He came back, he had some blood tests done at his doctor, and the doctor told us, look, these blood tests are irregular. Here's what it could mean. And signs were pointing towards leukemia. She took another blood test. It showed the same results. So that was on a Friday. And she told us on Monday that she had been worried about it all weekend. So we came into church Sunday, a few sleepless nights, very worried look on her face, and I run into our former associate pastor, Rosario Torres, and he asked me how I'm doing. I said, Roger, I'm not doing too good today. He said, why not? Tell me about it. So I told him what was going on. He said, we're going to pray over him. So in our kids ministry, in the basement of this building, Rosario prayed over Josh, anointed him in the name of the Lord. And I'm telling you, he went back to the doctor the next week, and the blood test was completely normal. Healed. No explanation. And the doctor even told my wife Denise, I have no explanation for what just happened, but thank God that it did, because I was just as worried as you about it. I've been part of a group that prayed over our former pastor Jamie in this church because of insomnia issues that were leading to so many health issues. And Andy and I were part of that group. We went to his house. We anointed him. We prayed over him. He got a full night's sleep that night for the first time in years. And it's unexplainable other than anointing and prayer. I've seen a couple that used to go to this church struggle with infertility for years. They came forward during a prayer and healing service. They were prayed over by leaders in this church, and now they have 4 healthy, beautiful, active kids. No explanation for that other than the prayers, because they had suffered with infertility for years and years. Jesus was our healer. Jesus is our healer. Of course, I'd be negligent if I did not acknowledge that sometimes Jesus chooses to not miraculously heal. We've seen that, unfortunately, at LifePoint Church with Ilya Mullins. We prayed, we begged, we had faith that God would heal, and we were not given the answers that we wanted. It was devastating for a lot of us. Healing for Ilya meant that he is no longer here with us. That is so unfortunate, so sad. It stinks. It's hard. We need to continue to encourage his parents, Mike and Tess, through that. But why? Why does Jesus not heal at times? I'm not going to tell you I know the answers to that. But Scriptures gives us some clues to why it might be. First of all, Jesus doesn't do miracles that interfere with God's plan. Matthew 26, starting with verse 53, says, "Don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us, and he would send them instantly? But if I did, how would the Scriptures be fulfilled that describe what must happen now?" I so badly wish that healing was in God's plan for Ilya. I so badly wish that healing was in God's plan for my friend Brandy, who died of cancer at the age of 24. Why didn't they get their miracles? We may not receive those answers this side of heaven, but for whatever reason, it was not in God's plan, and Jesus did not disrupt that. Jesus doesn't do miracles to prove himself. Mark 8, starting with verse 11, says, "When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had arrived, they came and started to argue with him, testing him. They demanded that he show a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. When he heard this, he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, 'Why do these people keep demanding a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, I will not give this generation any such sign.'" Can't you just hear Jesus saying the same about our generation right now? They think I stopped miracles? They think I stopped miracles in New Testament times? They should know better than that. Why do I need to prove myself again and again? Jesus doesn't do miracles where there is no faith. We see this in Matthew 13, starting with verse 57. Jesus had returned to his hometown of Nazareth and had performed many miracles and healings, and he was teaching in the synagogue. The people were amazed by the miracles he was doing, but they were also skeptical at the same time. They mocked him and laughed at him. This is Jesus, the son of a carpenter from Nazareth. We watched him grow up. He's nothing special. He was nothing special when he was a kid. He's nothing special now. We know his parents. We know his family. They're nothing special either. Even though they saw his healings, even though they heard his teachings, they doubted and they mocked. The Bible says they were deeply offended and refused to believe in him. And then Jesus told them, "A prophet is honored everywhere except in his own hometown and among his own family." And so he did only a few miracles there because of their unbelief. So what does this mean? What does all of this mean for us as the church? Simply put, it means everything for us. The Gospels presented the healing ministry of Jesus. The book of Acts follows that up and presents the church as a living expression of Jesus, the body of Jesus. Acts guarantees that the healing power of Jesus and the healing power of the Holy Spirit that he left behind for us are now ours. Jesus still heals through the church, through the expression of his body on earth. Acts 3 tells of Peter and John healing a man who was born lame. He had been lame every single day of his life. This healing took place when they were on the way to the temple. It was very close to the temple where they went to pray. A very public place, a very public healing. And naturally, when the people saw this man walking, they were amazed. They knew that he had never been able to walk his entire life until that day, and now he was walking. And it was made possible by Peter and John, healing in the powerful name of Jesus. So Peter saw this as an opportunity, and he took it. He spoke to the crowd and clearly presented the gospel to them again. This is how the early church fulfilled the mission, and the fulfillment of the mission remains ours today. Peter and John even got the opportunity to speak to a council of religious leaders, some of the same people who had put Jesus to death. That didn't go over well, but they lived with boldness, and they did their healing work in the name of Jesus, no matter the consequences. And the consequences they faced for that was jail time. Can the same be said of us? Do we believe that we are the expression of Jesus' body? Do we live like that? Do we live with the power and the authority that comes with that? Do we have the same compassion for people that Jesus did? That's a big one. When we look into the eyes of another person, do we acknowledge the fact that we're looking into the eyes of an image bearer of God? How do we treat that? How do we treat others? Current events in our community would suggest that we have some work to do, that we're not taking that seriously enough, that we're not treating others with the same compassion that Jesus did, and we're not listening to their concerns. That's on us. That's on us as a church. We have to do better. Even when we take communion, we have the promise of not just a spiritual life connected with God, but a life physically connected with Him and His Son, the physical body of Jesus. A.B. Simpson said that this is the truth of divine healing. It's deeper than just healing. It's divine. It's that we get to participate in the actual physical strength and energy of our risen God. What an honor that is. What a privilege that we get to be a part of the healing work of Jesus. That He would choose us, that He would adopt us into His family, call us into this, it's still mind-blowing to me to this very day. And that, in return, demands nothing short of everything from us. Luke 5, starting with verse 12. Jesus met a man with an advanced case of leprosy. When the man saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground, begging to be healed. "Lord," he said, "if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said. "Be healed." And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. Do you have the faith in Jesus that this man had? Do you know that Jesus can heal everything with a touch? Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus still heals and that it can be as simple and powerful as Him touching you? If you don't know that, now you do. You've had your Jesus encounter. Or if you've been saved before, salvation is yours, and you've had another Jesus encounter today, what now? What do we do with this information that we've just been given, this power and authority that is now ours? Do we walk away from this and say, "That was a decent sermon. It was presented well. It could have been a little bit better. I kind of liked how this other guy presented healer better." Or do we say, "Those are just words that he's talking about in a really, really old book, a book that contains no power"? What now? Jesus is willing. He shows His willingness. And here's the great news for us. It's not only physical healing that he offers. Jesus heals our worries, our anxieties, our fears, our concerns, our addictions. Jesus can heal it all. Jesus healed me of selfishness and pride and arrogance. And I can't help but tell others about him. John 14:12, I want to leave you with this verse. This is Jesus talking. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works as I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. That's what Jesus left us with. Jesus is our healer. He was and he is. Will you pray with me, please? Lord, we're so thankful, so awed, so amazed by what you do. These aren't just stories in a book. They're not just fictitious characters. This happened. So much proof over and over that it happened. Four different perspectives, Lord. That you are our healer. It's mind-blowing. It's awesome. What a legacy that these people got to leave. A legacy that trickles down all the way to us. As part of your body, part of the body of Jesus, who now get to carry on with your mission of healing. What an awesome responsibility. What an awesome privilege and honor. I pray that we're worthy of it, Lord. I pray that we can live lives that show that you're our Savior, that show that you're our sanctifier, that we're being made more holy through you and in you, and show that ultimate healing power is yours and nobody else's, nothing else's. You are our ultimate healer. I pray that we live lives that reflect that, lives that show that, lives that heal others with encouragement, with the power and the authority and the love that you have given to us and shown to us. Lord, I want to ask that you bless any decisions that are being made today as a result of healing, as a result of hearing exactly how powerful your words are, your healing words. We need you, Lord. We need your healing. Our community needs it. Our church needs it. Our churches need it. We need it as individuals. Will you heal us, Lord? Will you give us your power again? Will you give us encouragement and the willpower to live with this power in our lives? Bless the decisions that are being made, Lord. I pray that we at LifePoint Church can take these words and live them out in bold ways and fresh ways, in ways that are going to wake this community up like nothing else can, like only you can. I pray that you give us the power to do so, that you continue to encourage us with the power to do so. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for the privilege of being yours, being called yours, being identified by your name. May we never take that for granted, and may we never take for granted the privilege of living as part of your healed and your healing body. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
All right, thank you all so much for being here with us once again for LifePoint Online. If this is your first time here with us, thank you all so much for being here and hanging out with us and checking out LifePoint Church. If you'd like more information or if you have any questions, you can either drop a comment below or you can visit us on our website or any of our social media platforms. And if you have questions, just go ahead and ask and someone from our team will get back with you as soon as we possibly can. Also, if you want to continue to worship with your tithes and your offerings, or if you just simply want to give to LifePoint Church, you could head over to our website. It's lpc502.com. In the top right-hand corner is an online giving button. If you click it, it takes you to a safe and secure place where you can give. You can also begin to text to give by texting the amount that you want to give to the number 4, 3, 2, 1. But however you choose to give, we are just so thankful and humbled by the fact that you're on mission and that you're giving back just a portion of what it is that God has blessed you with. Again, thank you all so much for being here with us today. We hope that you'll join us in connecting and doing life online throughout the week. And until next Sunday, we'll see you later. Have a great one.